Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, well done, church. Well done to you all. So beautiful seeing you all. Thank you for going on the journey with the whole church and believing what God is doing in this house as the baton changes. So thank you. Staying in faith with us, lean in. And you know what else? I want to thank Roz. This is the moment where she actually lets go of the baton. You've done an incredible, incredible job. You heard from God and you did something so brave. Let's just change the whole model of how we've done church for the last 30 years in our nation, 40 years in our nation, actually since the day of the bishops, that's when it began. The Holy Spirit has changed things. And so thank you, Roz, for bringing that about in our house. I know it's cost you, so I'm very grateful. And you know what? Roz and Mark have both poured out to make sure this baton change pushes our church into the new season with strength. And we are going to partner with Mark and Roz to get them into their new ministry season in strength too. I thought you'd like to know that because Roz has a lot of ministry left in her. And Roz is on the state executive team. She looks after pastors' health, so keeping our pastors healthy across the state. She looks after women for the ACC as well. And she has something within her that I've heard her talk about for years and years, to do mental health programs for our community. So we're going to help her with that ministry. And Mark looks after our pastors and churches over the ranges in the West. Together, they mentor and lead a lot of pastors. And so it's an incredible thing for us to invest in, to build and to continue to partner with them. So that's good. I thought you'd like to know that. And there's going to be blessing for us in honouring their new season too. All right. I've got flowcharts, practical things, strategy, new strategy to share with you. But before we do, I want to share with you a word for 2024. And every year Mark and Roz have shared a word for the year. It has been a prophetic word for the season to come. And I've always been really excited to arrive on Vision Sunday and hear that word. I've lent into it with my life. I've lent into it as a church. And so, where do we start? My goodness, that's actually now the job of the team. So when I thought, where do we start? I looked back over all the words that God has spoken in the last year. And it's been a very prophetic season. So many words, so many dreams, visions, and grace. Because God's wanted to keep us encouraged. Because he's doing a new thing and it takes a lot of courage, church. And so he's kept us in faith with these words. And stand alone, they're all great, encouraging words. But as I looked at them, I started to see a connectedness in the things that God was saying. And I realized that he was giving us a blueprint for the new season. It's exciting. I'm going to start with the first thing. I thought, let's start at the beginning. And this time last year when we prayed for the team, just after that, I had a dream. I won't go into the details because you heard it all last year. But in the dream, God urged me, Mindy, teach the church the revelation I gave you on the anointing oil of Aaron. And then he said it again urgently. Got to listen when God says something twice. Mindy, teach the church the revelation I gave you on the anointing oil of Aaron. I better get myself a revelation on the anointing oil of Aaron. That was my next thought when I woke up. But God has been unfolding this revelation. Catch up to myself. I know that the anointing oil of Aaron is a reference to Psalm 133. And I believe this is a promise over our church. So I'm going to read it to you in its fullness. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down to the edge of his garment. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Zion. For there the Lord bestows or commands his blessing, even life forevermore. And I thought that's a beautiful promise. And I actually thought our church is pretty good at unity. But unity is big. It's bigger than what I realized it was. I think unity is actually the greatest posture of the church. And it is the posture of the Trinity, unity. And Jesus Christ, in John 17, he prays this prayer. And he prays a prayer over you, over future believers, a prayer that one day he knows that you will read. And so what does Jesus Christ pray for in this moment? He doesn't pray that you have great faith, spiritual strength and insight. He doesn't pray for signs and wonders. He prays for one thing. He prays for unity and unity so that Christ will be revealed to the world. Let me show you what it says. I pray also for those who will believe, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. That's an amazing unity right there. Bought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved me. I want those you've given me to see my glory. Wow. The glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So Jesus prayed that our unity would reveal him to the world. Wow. And guess what? That is also in Psalm 133. I didn't see it at first, but here it is. Of unity, it says, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Now, let me tell you about those two mountains. Mount Hermon is traditionally known as the Mount of Transfiguration, or the place where the glory of Jesus was revealed to his disciples. Wow. And Mount Zion is known as the people of God. So it's like the scripture or the passage is trying to say to us, it's as if the dew of the glory of Jesus Christ revealed falling on his people. That's going to be incredible. And let me tell you another little prophetic vision. We did a message series last year called Revealing Jesus. Do you remember it? The last day we did that series, I got the blessing to share that message. And that night when I went to bed, God showed me a word. It was a Greek word. I saw it with my eyes. I don't speak Greek, but I knew by revelation in my dream that it was a Greek word. So as soon as I got up in the morning, went to my friend Google. I Googled Greek word, epiphaneia. And Wikipedia tells me this word in Greek and in ancient Greek tradition as well means the revealing of Jesus Christ to the world. And so this is what I know. He is calling us to unity, and his plan is to reveal Jesus Christ to the world. That honor is on our shoulders. Can I ask Jill, can you put the thing on the back screen for me? Thank you. Okay, so Jesus prayed for unity and the revealing of Jesus Christ in John 17. And there it is in Psalm 133, the unity of the church revealing Jesus Christ, a Mount Hermon moment falling on the people. And so let's start there. Psalm 133 tells us what to do. How good is that? We've been given the instruction. Psalm 133 starts with the people were together in unity. So our word for 2024 is the word together. It describes our unity. And I love it because the word together speaks of the new season. It speaks of the team leading the church together. It speaks of the church together and the power of our work together. And also, I know it will be the revealing of Jesus Christ. And so I had this little word together. I asked the team, what do you think God is saying? I didn't give them the word together yet, but Ben, who has a prophetic grace on our team, said to me, I hear the words in one accord. And I see the scripture from Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And I have to tell you, in one accord is the same word, together. Depends on what translation you look at. So this is our vision, together in one accord. And this is our scripture for this year. And I love it because Acts 2 births the early church. That is right before the Holy Spirit is poured out and the word of God goes out. And I believe we will have, because this is a New Testament model, we are believing that the fruit of the New Testament church will be our fruit in this season. And let me tell you what that fruit is. This is in Acts 2, that very chapter. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Go, you prayer warriors. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs were performed. Hallelujah. All the believers were together. They gave to anyone who had need. We're about to do this as we enter missions in our church. They continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all people. I hear the sound of unity in those words. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. It's revival. Okay. This is page one of our blueprint, together in unity. And we're believing that through that, Jesus Christ will be revealed to the world. The words together, I don't have time to teach it to you today. Because I've got some informationaling to do first. We'll unfold the word together through the year. But you ready? Put your information hats on. I'm going to talk to you about the new season. In the new season, some things will be new, but some things will remain the same. So I'm going to tell you first about what is the same. What is the same is who we are as a church. We love our culture, we love our history, we love what we value. We actually wrote it up and put it on our website for you, so it will not be forgotten. So you can jump on and see a page called Our Story. Our vision statement is the same towards Christ, and our discipleship strategy is the same. You should be able to quote it without looking at the screen. Look up, lean in, reach out. That's it. We look up to God in all things. We lean into our church family and we lean into growing in Christ. And we reach out to others to help them find the hope of Jesus. Okay, so until God says otherwise, these things remain the same. Let me tell you what's new. What's new is the fivefold leadership team, our governance structure, and we have a new strategy for the Great Commission. So wait for it. Okay, I'm going to start with the fivefold. The fivefold is a biblical model. Ephesians 4 tells us, so Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to equip his people, that's you, for the works of ministry. So get ready, church, to be ministers. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity. That's one of the goals of the fivefold, that we would come to unity. So the fivefold was Christ's gift to the church, and you've got to think, well, Christ knew what the church needed, obviously. And so now in this season, instead of looking to one great leader with just one kind of set of gifts, we're now going to look to five leaders or a group of leaders that has a full expression of the fivefold ministry. Okay, let me tell you about the anointing oil of Aaron. Not going to hear the end of this. The anointing oil was actually made of five ingredients. And I believe the five ingredients foreshadow the fivefold. It was a special recipe. No one else was allowed to make it. And it was used for anointing the priests. And you now are his royal priesthood. And they say when a priest was being anointed in the temple or in the house of God, the whole city knew about it. Because the fragrance, this unique fragrance, carried through the valley. So this is what I want to say over you. In that moment, it wasn't a dab. It was poured over the head. You saw it in Psalm 133. That's how they did it. It wasn't like Roz there this morning. Poured over the head. And so this is what I want to say to you. Through the fivefold, the fragrance of Christ will be poured over you as we gather together. And you will go out of this place into your world carrying the fragrance of Christ. Is that not beautiful? Okay. All right, let's meet the team. I have to race through this, so I'm really sorry, but the information is on the website, so you can jump on the website and see it. Our fivefold team, we have Brooke. She has the fivefold grace of a pastor, and she's apostolic. And I can tell you, Brooke cares for people really deeply. She's also apostolic and prophetic, so look out. She actually will be growing you and equipping you beautifully for the works of ministry. And then we have Kat. She's a pastor and evangelist, which is a beautiful combination. And she actually has an anointing to help people find their place in the body of Christ. She's also a great executor and facilitator and will be pulling a lot of things on off in church life. So if she says, I need a hand, I want you to lean in and help her out. Jacques is apostolic and prophetic. He's a great strategic thinker and a great leader. And he is a gift to me in those spaces on the team. He is also carrying a very important job out there as a CFO for an NFP. A lot of responsibility on his shoulders there. So I'm really glad he's leaning in and being part of our team. Then we have Dan. He's an evangelistic and apostolic man, but he's also a great pastor. And I've watched Dan, he's got a generational connectedness when it comes to caring for people like I've never seen before. And I have to tell you, his apostolic grace cares for the nations. It cares about poverty and injustice. So he's a beautiful man to have leading our missions. Look forward to that next week. Dan. Ben, he is apostolic and prophetic. He challenges us to seek the presence of God. And his prophetic gift on the team has been a real blessing to me, Ben Hoffman. And this year, his leadership is going to be put to the test because we need to get our MPC up. And he's going to represent the team and make sure that happens along with Nathan and Brett. So we want to see that thing built. And then there's me. I'm an apostle and a teacher. And I see my main role as being responsible for keeping the church healthy and keeping us on vision. I'm going to show you a quick flowchart. The team actually speak into all areas with their fivefold grace, but there's certain things that we've asked them to carry in their function as a leader. And actually, on the team, we actually all serve in each other's lanes. It's like the scripture says, we submit one to another. Okay, but they're bivocational, we're spreading the load, and we're asking them to prioritize family, relationship with God, personal health, spiritual health. So you won't see them at everything. That's why we have a team. You won't see them at every Sunday service or every event. But I want you to be encouraged because the team is bigger than us. We have a team of pastors that take care of you as well. In the morning services, you're all morning people. You have Kat and Jacques. And you also have Donna and Ivan, and they will care for this beautiful cohort in the morning. Okay, we also have a similar in the night. Keep going, Mindy. Now I want to tell you about our governance structure. And this is beautiful because it spreads the load again and it's really healthy. Leadership team are vision and leadership. And then the board and the senior elders are protection and oversight. And there is an accountability written into our current draft constitution between those three governing teams. It spreads the load and it also eliminates power and control. So it's really safe for the future of the church. Great. All right. Let's get on to the good stuff. Let's talk about the Great Commission. All right, this is page 2 of our blueprint. I was reading the census stats for Lake Macquarie and Newcastle. Who else does that? Come on, there has to be someone other than Mindy. Thank you, Dom. Anyway, I was burdened after reading them because I realized that the stats for certain areas in our region were higher than the national average. So physical, long-term physical illness was higher in almost every category. We're talking about cancer, kidney disease, heart disease, things like that. And I tried to explain it away and said, well, it's because we've got such a good hospital, all the sick people move here. Could be true. However, I kept reading, and other important things like a higher percentage of single-parent families and the most shocking stat of all for our region was higher instance of mental health issues, long-term mental health issues. I'm talking 39% higher than the national average. And I just thought, what if, as a church, we could change the spiritual atmosphere in our region in such a way that we can come back to these stats in 5 years' time and say God has been in this city? And as I was thinking these words, we got a beautiful prophetic word. It was given to me for the church from our regional Hunter ACC leader. And he spoke this over Macquarie. He said, Macquarie Life Church will catalyze a fresh move of God in our region. The region first and then the nation. A move marked by a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit and something that is uniquely Macquarie. In that moment, you know what I heard? Go for it. I heard go for it. So we're going to go for it. But then I thought, oh, well, how do we do that? I had no idea, no strategy. But then God whispered these words to me in the night. He said to me these words. He said, a church on every street. A church on every street. And then I saw it. It was like a Gregory's map. And Jesus had circled the home and the street in which you live. And I woke up in the morning and I geotagged every single one of you. You put your GPS coordinates into Google and this is what I saw. This is actually what I saw in my dream. This is a picture of you together. It's like a photo from heaven. He looks down and he sees you in your street and the spiritual territory that God has set apart for you. And I want you to see street as metaphorical because it actually means your sphere of influence. It could actually be your workplace. It could be your sporting team. It could be any place where God has put you and he has given you spiritual territory. So, you know what? Look at that picture. I think we can change the spiritual atmosphere of our region. One of us can't do it, but together we can do it. And I want you to think of like the anointing oil of Aaron again, back there. Imagine the anointing oil poured out over his church, reaching to the very edge of the garment. Can you see it there? Thanks. All right. So step one is actually you in your homes, in your street and in your homes. It's you, it's your prayer in that space. It's you opening up your home. It's you being Christ, encouraging other Christians and helping other people who don't know Christ find Christ. I think it's actually a return to the value of homes and a value of dining tables. I was in a meeting last year with our mayor, Kay Fraser, mayor for Lake Macquarie, and she'd gathered church leaders in our region, and she was asking for help. She was asking for help for families. And she said, how can we restore the dining tables in families? She saw that if we could do that, and if the church could help, that we could restore families. And you know what? The dining table is really important in my house. It's my favorite time of the day. It's the only time my three teenage children gather together. It's because they're hungry and their need for food calls them to the dinner table. And in that moment, we hold them captive. We pray every time without fail. They can't run away. They can't even eat their food until after we've prayed. And we share together. Sometimes it's like trying to stir cement after it's set. But we do it because it's our family together and we are imparting our values and Christ into them in that moment. Okay. It actually was the strategy of the early church. The early church was built on meals in homes. And it was actually the strategy of Macquarie Life Church 70 years ago. I want to show you a photo of some beautiful people. Frank and Rosa, Henry and Victoria, Kathy Blahe, people in homes, building the church. John Collier tells a beautiful story about his parents in the middle there, Henry and Victoria. They would have gatherings in their home because they were European. So they found people who just simply spoke the same language. And somehow they brought them into their homes and like loaves and fishes, John said, Victoria found food to feed them all. And they shared Christ. Beautiful heritage. So this is step one. You being a church in your street, us being a church in every street together. I'm not sure what it looks like for you, but let God birth something in you. The next thing, you ready for step two? Step two is micro churches. Small gatherings that become regular gatherings, maybe once a month, maybe once a fortnight. It's you. It's your vision, and it's us empowering you in your vision. It can look like anything. And I actually think that different types of gatherings is what this era needs. I actually have a son. He's 17. He's about to turn 18. And he's got autism, and he has a really high sensory disorder. He actually can't walk in these doors. The people, the noise, it's too much for him. He needs a different type of gathering. I wish there was somewhere I could take my son where he could gather with like-minded people and be discipled. Apparently, you don't listen to mum and dad anymore after a certain age. Okay. So this is micro-churching. It's not for all of you. You can all do homes, but some of you might have a seed for another type of gathering. Okay. The last one. In our strategy. Step three, you ready? Multi-site. This is further down the track. So future vision. And I've seen this word. I've actually seen the word multi-site. And this is a network of churches where we raise up apostolic leaders and we give them fivefold teams and their spaces that they occupy on that map. Bring up the map. Beautiful how far that spreads. But imagine if we had micro-church gatherings on those edges or multi-site gatherings on those edges, all coming back to some regional apostolic support. So go to the next slide because that is the last step in the vision. Apostolic oversight. everyone's still belonging back to some kind of regional hub, whether they come back once a month or they just get regular support. Who knows what it looks like? We're not writing the details of that yet. The Holy Spirit is still breathing into it. We'll see what it looks like. But this is the church together. How beautiful. All right, there's so much more I could tell you. My goodness, running out of time. Hang in there and it will come out. It will fall out of us like vision week after week after week.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macquarielifechurch.com.au.